Okay, so what we're going to do now is digress a little bit. Okay, and the reason why we're digressing is there's a Tosos in our sugya. It's on Ham and Aleph. It says, keep going to Shilshel. It basically references this thing of Eged Yad Shmei Eged. Okay, and somehow I tracked down that it's referencing this sugya over here on Tzadi Aleph. Okay? Forgot exactly how I found it, but that's what it's doing. Okay? Okay, so basically, in order to understand that Tosos, I think you have to go do this other Gemara. And it's an interesting Gemara in its own right. It's a little bit of digression, what? Tosos Bayas, you mean?
Yeah.
Tosos Bayas is, Kigon Shashil Shal Yadol Mata Migimel. Okay, Xavarabo Eged Yad Shmei Eged, that thing. Okay, Eged Yad Shmei Eged is based upon this thing of Eged. Kli Shmei Eged, and further in our Gemara on Tzadi Beis, we didn't get to yet. You didn't pray yet, but on Tzadi Beis it talks about Eged Yad also. Okay, fine. So let's see the Mishnah. So Mishnah on Tzadi Aleph base. So a totally new thing. Okay, Amotzei Eluchlin V'Nosen on Al Hezkupa. Okay, so if you basically bring out Eluchlin and you put them on the threshold, Bein Shechazer V'Otzion Bein. So basically, it's a karmas. Okay, let's cut to the chase. It's a karmas. Okay, the Gemara goes through, but it's a karmas. So you take these Eluchlin out and you put them on the threshold, which is a karmas. Bein Shechazer V'Otzion Bein Shechotzion Acher. Pater. So whether you then go and bring them out, or if another guy brings them out, you're pater. Mipnei shelo asamach lebimasachas. So basically, even though you're doing the malacha, you're going from Rishisi Yachid to Karmelis, and then you're doing Karmelis to Saravim, so you're not chayiv because you're not doing it in one shot. Okay? Fine. So that makes sense. Right? I mean, it's the one maisa of Tzah from Rishisi Yachid to Saravim, not in two shots, not in two separate maisa. And you're doing hanacha in between, on the siskupa. Okay, fine. Right. Good. Okay, so Rashi explains it, but it makes sense. That's not really the relevant part to us. Kupa, shi himalaya peros. If you have a box, which is, right, basket box, whatever, full of fruits, venosnal, skupa, chitona, you put it on the outer skupa, or the outer part of the skupa. Even though the majority of the fruits in the basket are outside, potter. Achiyotzi is kalakupa. Okay, kolomar Rashi, kolomar elayim kein hotzi berishona kalakupa. Okay, fine. So it has to be the entire, all the fruits. The whole kupa has to be out. Okay, it's not enough to be motzi rov. You don't say ruba kikulo. But I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what Mishnah is saying. Even though you're motzi rov of the peros, you don't say ruba kikula. Okay, you don't say ruba kikula, but you have to be motzi the whole skupa. Okay? The basic sense, and we're going to have to get into the particulars, and the basic sense is the basic principle in the Mishnah, leaving the details aside, it seems to be that you don't say ruba kikula. Okay, if, let's say, forget a basket. You have one cucumber, and you put it in 3/4 of the way over the border. And, you know, it's from Rishas Yachid, you pick up Rishas Yachid, put it down, and 3/4 of it is in Rishas Rabim, and the rest of it is in Karmelis. So, you don't say, Ruva Gula. And you don't say, that how to identify the location of the object by the Rov of the object. And therefore say, its location is Rishas Rabim. Rather, you say you have to be multi the whole thing. Okay? So, any questions on that? That's the question. Why not? Why don't you go by Rov? I mean, Rov should know an object has a location, and this object is, so to speak, torn. So why don't I say that you define it based upon Rov? I mean, on the surface you say Rov, because even though it's partially here, partially there, but Makom is like a quality in an object, and the idea of Rubikulu is if you have like an entity, like let's say a cup, and you know, it's Rov of it is Shasli, and the other part of it isn't Shasli, you say the Rubikulu. So it all has the quality of Shasli, or you have a Sanhedrin, and Rov of the Sanhedrin says Chayiv, and the majority minority says Pater. So you define it Achar the Rov, Achar Malato. So you have an entity which has a characteristics. The majority of it has the characteristic. You define the entire thing by the majority. I mean, that seems really cool. That's why the Gemara's Havmina. That's the Mishnah's Havmina. He said, why don't you say that if you're defining the Makom, an object has a Makom? You don't say an object has a split Makom. I mean, what's his Makom? So as Makom is, I mean, if you imagine the thing on the, over the border, 99% of it, I mean, you pick an extreme case, 99% of it over the border, and one a little bit over the edge, say, where's this location? This location is the new place. So now, you don't need 99%. We have principle Ruba Kulo. You know, so now the answer is location. I mean, things have locations. I mean, location, like a double location, is a funny type of an idea. It's like a split location. I mean, a simple idea is a property, and you can define the property. There's a conflict. You define it by rov. So why don't you say Ruba Kulo here?
I mean,
location seems to be a property defined by a majority. I mean, it would seem so. It would seem that's the way you define something. Are you in the house or you're out of the house? You go by rov. Right, like you have Rosh Aruba, like by Sukkah, you have Rosh Aruba.
Right.
So that's fine, that's fine. Rov, Rosh Aruba, whatever it is. But as an idea, that's because human being, you can't just say Rov because he also has a head and that's his essence, or whatever it is, you know? But the idea of defining something by a majority or something, not just to say he's a halfway in the Sukkah, he's halfway out of the Sukkah, or he's halfway, you know? In general, that would seem to be a mistaber way to do this thing. So why is it that you don't do that? I mean, I think it's a good idea to think about this before we get into the particulars of the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is going to get it more detailed, but I think this is just the basic halach of the Mishnah. I should just define what's the halach of the Mishnah, you know? So let's take the Ram. So Ram says, Yud Beis Yud Av. So if you say it's a complicated case and we don't know the Kupa, it makes further complications. So the Ram says, Yud Beis Yud Av. Hamotzi miktas hachefet mirishus vishterishus elu lirishus shniya pater. So a regular object. You bring a miktas of an object from one rishus to the other, your pater. Okay, until you bring the entire chefetz. Then he gets into the kupa case. I mean, the kupa case is a further case. So the Mishnah is, I guess, a terse, and it saves space. It doesn't tell you the primary halacha. It does it through the kupa, and that includes the complications of the kupa together, the basic halacha. But the Ram spells out the basic halacha for you. The basic halacha before you get to the kupa case is just a regular object. No kupas. A regular, plain, old object. Okay, you choose your favorite object you want to do. It's on. You do, and it says it only works if you do the chayfetz kula. Get the entire thing. I mean, I think what the Davids are saying here, or Scott, is that the idea is it makes sense what we've been saying that it's not pshat. Like for instance, it's not that an object. If an object fell from the sky and just landed on a border. Majority on one rishos and the other part on the other, minority on the other rishos. Then I'd say, where is it? Well, I'd say, let's look at Rov. Okay? Rov, yes, it's fine. Rov, go up. But that's not Hotzah. Hotzah is you have an object which has a din makom. Okay? An object has a din makom. It has a kvias or whatever. There's a makom. It's kavua, it's munach, and a makom. And now you're uprooting the kvias and giving it a new din makom. So the thing is, in order to, a shem makom is like a property of an object. So in order to uproot the shem makom, you have to totally break it with the old makom. It's just like we had things like, if as long as it's like only to go back, you know, we had ideas like that, like if it's in the airspace. So the thing is, to be oker, you can't say you've been oker it as long as there's still a minority. So it's true that if you're defining it from scratch, then you'd say, and that's the definition. But akira from a makom, it means you're breaking any relationship. When we say Ruach Kula, it doesn't mean the minority isn't, it's as if really there's no, it's not there. It is there, but you're saying is the halachic shem makom could be determined by Rav. But Akira is a total idea. Akira means uprooting. It means it's a doesn't lend itself to degree. Akira means totally uprooting. So saying this, the minority will be ma'akiv the Akira. Akira demands the Kula. Because when you have Ruba, let's say you have an object that falls from the sky, like let's say an object falls from the sky and lands 60-40. So you don't, it doesn't mean it doesn't have, it has a relationship to both Rishiyos. But now you have to give the object a shem. Okay, a makom is like an identity. So the question is, do you, even though it has a relationship to both Rishiyos, so you the identity of the object goes by that Rishiyos which has a greater relationship to it. Okay, and it's shem Rishiyos. Even though, again, it has the property of relationship to both of them. But the Shem Rishos is Nikva based upon Rav. Okay, the Shem is Nikva based upon Rav. But of course, it is related to the other, there is a relationship to the other Rishos, you can't deny that. It's just Shem is a singular identity in an object. And that Shem is Nikva based upon the majority. There's a tug of war, so there's the who wins, the Rav wins. But it doesn't mean like it's Kamisha Eino, like it's exact same thing as the object is in the other Rishos. I mean, it does relate to the other shos. It's just that shem makom is determined by rov. But that's fine if the object is if the object is you're trying to you have to give the object a shem makom. So you're saying is even though it has a relationship to both Rishuyos, it's Shemakam is Nikva by the Rav. But here that's not the question. The question in Hotzah isn't what's the Shemakam. The question is, have you been Oker the Din Rishas? It has the Din Rishas. It has a Shechal Hashem Rishas Yachad. The question is, are you Oker it? Now, as long as the relationship, that is its identity. It's like a citizen of Rishas Yachad. Now, as long as it has a relationship to Rishas Yachad, that's not Nekar. The object isn't a Nekar. You haven't been Oker the object from the Rishas. And its shame is still going to exist because it has a Chal Hashem Makom. And to break the Chal Hashem, so you need an Akira. You have to be an Oker it, and it still has a relationship. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't have a relationship. So it's just that when it has the relationship, in order to remove it, and really when it has a Chal Hashem, in order to remove it, you need an Akira. You have to break any tie to the Rishas. But if it comes down from sky, there's no identity, and it's awaiting a definition, so Rov is the Machriya. That's his two relationships, two locations. So Rov is going to give it its definition. It's like you can't quantify it, because if you have an object that's over the border, and the object has a Chal Hashem Makom of Rishas HaYachid, so it has 1% of it in its Makom. It's real Shem Makom. 1% of it is really actualizing its real Shem Makom, and 99% of it is in some alien Makom. They say that 1% is more significant than the 99%, because that 1% is really its real Shem Makom, which is it's being expressed. So it happens to be it's over the border a little bit, even 99%. But the objects, the identity in the underlying identity is expressed. That 1% is an expression of the underlying identity. So as long as that underlying identity has any expression, so that's not just a quantity of 1%. That is the underlying identity expressing itself. But if an object has no underlying identity, so now it's basically just 60-40, whatever it is, whatever the percentages are. So now you'll be kovaya based upon the majority. Again, but a minority, the 1% is simply the expression of the object's underlying identity. So it's more than any quantity of the other thing. It's qualitatively superior because that is its real identity.
No, I'm saying
it won't. You won't define it Din Makom. No, I'm not saying it's Din Makom change. I'm saying Din Makom doesn't change because Din Makom takes into account this underlying reality. Din Makom hasn't changed. Now, to an observer who doesn't know the history of the thing, he may say, he didn't know anything, he thought it just dropped down from the sky. Maybe he'd say that's where it is, but he'd be ignorant of the fact. He didn't know that it's a Rosh Hashanah object.
What if that person would...
Okay, so let's do the Gemara. So the Gemara is like this. So Amar Chizkiya. Lo shanu ela b'kupa malaya kishuvim v'ziluim. This is only talking about a box, a basket, which is filled with like cucumbers or gourds, right, whatever, something like that. Okay? It means like long, big fruits. But if the box is filled with little mustard seeds, right? Little mustard seeds. And you put the box halfway over the border, so you're going to be chayav. Why?
Because some of them will definitely be on the way.
There are some mustard seeds which you've definitely changed their makom. Right? So some you did, some you didn't. See if it's a cucumber, so you'll say no cucumber has really changed makom. And you have to be motzi the entire cucumber.
Is that just an assumption?
But in a mustard seed, you've transferred many mustard seeds, so you're not going to be chayav on the ones you didn't transfer, but you're going to be chayav on the ones you did transfer. Okay, so that's what he's saying. So what does the Gemara say? So it says Alma. So now it adds in this idea: Alma kesavar eged kli lo shmei eged. Okay, so you don't say eged kli lo shmei eged. Let's not translate that for the time being, because it's not clear what it means. That's part of the problem. Rashi tries to explain it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afil Melechar Del Pater. Alma Kesavar Eget Kli Shmei Eget. Okay, so apparently the natural thing you would say, what's the natural thing from this Gemara? Natural way to go is that you're Chayev, because the Chardels. Okay, because the Chardel seeds, there are seeds which you did Hotzah to. The only thing is, you may say Eget Kli Shmei Eget. If you say this thing, Eget Kli Shmei Eget, then you're not going to be Chayev.
Even Mechar.
What?
Even
my heart, though, right? Because that's what it boils down to. And without bringing in this mysterious principle called Eged Kli Shmei Eged, so the natural idea is you say you're Chayev, because you've transferred them. Now, the only question is, do you say this thing or not? Okay, whatever this thing is. So let's see Rashi. Okay. So he says... Like kishumim dilun shehin aruchim adain yesh mehem befneh v'cholma de'avid de'agid legavoi kol dehu lav hotza. So as long as it's attached, right? Agid means like attached or joined to the inside, any amount, that's not hotza. That's kind of like we're saying. It's not hotza. You're not motzi the thing. I mean, you could argue it's different, but that's what we're saying. That's not. They don't say the object has been motzi. It's not otsa. Okay, it's not otsa until you bring it totally out. Avam leichar del shariyesh menu kulam b'chutz. There are some which are totally outside. Af bishal yideh kli who neged letzab pneim. Even though through the kli those chardals which are fully outside are so to speak attached towards the inside, chayav. Deged kli lo shmei aget. You don't say, Eged Kli is Shmei Eged. What would that say? Lomar, to say, he's explaining what does it mean, Shmei Eged. It means, you don't say, Lomar, you don't say, Lo Yatza Kulo. You don't say, it hasn't fully gone out. Right? V'adayin ugda biyado b'fnem.
Because it's still attached to the inside.
See, I think he's quoting here. Bifnim, zehu loshon hashas. Zehu loshon hashas l'inyan Shabbos. Okay, I think that's a quote maybe. Because not biyado, this case isn't biyado. It's biyado, you put it down. So I think that's a quote maybe. Adayin ogdi biyado bifnim, quotes. Zehu loshon hashas l'inyan Shabbos. Kol kama delo nafik le kulo, kule, as long as it hasn't completely left, kari le agad. You call it agad. The agudo shayach legabe rishos kama, okay, because it's like attachment is
makes it back to the
is shayach to the first rishos.
Like the idea we just said,
right? Right, that its relationship is to the first rishos.
Is that where you got it from the first
one? Maybe I don't know.
Wait,
agud is like a, it seems like a conceptual idea, like it's agud, it's like connected or attached to the first rishos. And the question is, do you say that Eged Kli Shmei Eged? That in other words, if part of the thing is in the first Rishos, you say it's like still Negad, it's like tied, attached to the first Rishos. But do you say, because it's totally outside, but the Kli which it's in is not totally outside. So do you say that the fact that the Kli is not totally outside, do you say that it hasn't fully, it's also still tied to the Rishos? To the first Rishos. It's still agud to the first Rishos. So Eged Kli Shmei Eged means the tie of the object to the first Rishos through the Kli is considered a valid tie such that you could say it hasn't fully left. Or you don't say that. Or you say the Kli is just the Kli. And that's how Rashi's reading. So you have to put the Rashi together a little bit here. But that's what he's saying. To bring out Rashi better, I think, let's see the Rambam. Because the Rambam, I think the Rambam learns differently. And I think you'll see the difference by seeing the way the Rambam formulates it and the way Rashi formulates it. Okay? So, and maybe what you're saying is the way the Rambam. As the Rambam says, Kupashim le'echafatzim, afilin le'echardol, v'hotzi ruba, mirshosi lo'shazu, pata. Achiyot is called a kupa. Can't call it almost that was. So basically he holds that you have to, hey, kli shmei, I get it. Okay, why? She'akli mesim kol she'yishbo ke'chefet achad. So the Kli makes everything in the Kli like one big object. Okay? So the Kli, so you ask the Rambam, why are you not Chayev? Because the Kli makes it, it's like one big, it's not Chardals. According to Rambam, it's not Chardals. It's a Kli. It's like one, it's all one big Chardal Kli. Okay? It's one big entity. And since it's one big entity, it's no different than Kishuan. So Eger, Kli, Shmei Eger, how would you change the Eged Kli Shmei Eged according to the Rambam? What does it mean, Eged Kli Shmei Eged? Right, it sounds like the unification or the bundling of a Kli is a good unification, is a good bundling, so that it all is defined as one entity. That's what it means. This Mesim is all like Echad, means that's what he's learning Eged means. Eged means like it's a bundle, it binds it. Right? It's like a little tzarech Eged, like a binding. So the Kli binds it into being one entity. Nothing to do with the first Rishos. Rashi wasn't saying Eged means it binds it as being one entity. Eged, according to Rashi, meant its connection to the original Rishos. And the question is, does the Kli maintain the connection with the original Rishas.
That's only going
to
be true.
To say, lo yetzei kulo. Does it or does it not do it? So, it may be related, but according to the question, what is it referring to? I get Kli Shmei, according to the Rambam, is does a Kli unify it to being one object?
But you're going to need according to say that for Rashi.
What?
You're going to need to say that for Rashi, though.
But he doesn't, so why doesn't he say it? It's a different idea. The question is, according to Rashi, the way he's formulating it, it's not a question of is it one object? Because I just say that. I just say
if
that's
you say
what it
no,
means.
Then how could the egg help you? How could the basket help you?
Because
so you said
it's
no,
not, right? Because still the Kli is in the inside.
Yeah, so what? I'm not talking about the Kli, I'm talking about the Pri.
That's a very good question. You have to go get far for that one. Hopefully you got a good one.
I don't think it's possible. I think he's saying that.
Then they should say it. They should say what the Ram says. Why doesn't he say what the Ram says? He doesn't say that it's all one object. He's saying is that it's lo yetze kulo. It's the way he's learning. He's not talking the language of the Rambam. He should say simple. Why does he go? Why is he talking so funny? Just say the question is it one object? Is it two objects? Isn't that simple? The egg klishmegas. What is he talking about? Egg is the tide of the first rishos. What's it? I mean, he's saying is he learns the same way as the Rambam. He just happens to translate the word differently, and therefore he makes it all complicated.
It just sounds like they're focusing on different parts of the.
Look, I'm
lecharda.
Look what he says. I'm lecharda. Look what Rashi says. I'm lecharda. Shehare yeshmi menu kulon bachutz.
Right? Which one is
you? There are some of them which are fully outside.
Right.
Afo pishal yidei hakli hu negad letzad plim. Even though through the kli which they are in, it's still related to the first rishos.
Right.
Chayav. Okay. The eged kli lo shmei eged. Lo mar lo yetze kulo. You don't say it's shmei eged to say that it hasn't fully left. It doesn't say lo shmei eged to make it one entity, it's talking about those things. But the question is, have those things fully left if their kli is still in the other ashas? Is that a full leaving? It's true, it physically isn't there, but its kli is still there. So is that a full leaving? It's not saying, does it become one entity? It's not one entity, they're separate entities. But he's just saying is that you'll say, lo yetze kulo, even though those entities are physically outside, maybe you'll say that Eged Kli lo Shmei Eged, or Eged Kli Shmei Eged, that the tie to the first Rishus through their Kli ties them back to the thing. But it doesn't mean that they are one object. It's not one object. There's many objects. It's just that the Kli somehow relates them back to the first Rishus. Rambam's way is not saying this, so it's many objects. He's saying it makes it. It's all one object. It's like it's all one object. At the very least, the Rashi and the Rambam are talking differently. They're defining the word egged differently.
I agree with you on, but I don't think they can't. I don't think either one of them cannot be saying that it's only one thing.
Okay, fine. So let me define. I think Rashi is a twisted way to read any of this. It's twisted. I mean, unless it's a vocabulary machlokas. Maybe they just argue on what the word vocabulary is here. But if the Rambam's way, I mean, what are they arguing about? So it's just a matter of how you read it, but they're saying the exact same thing and just want to read it differently? Why should they do that? They disagree on that. So
it's
possible
people formulate differently. I mean.
Well, they're formulating it differently, maybe a different concept. I mean, isn't the burden of proof on you to say that they're formulating it differently, but they're saying the exact same thing? They're talking totally differently. They're explaining the exact same word. There are two differences of the word. One chooses the definition, which is different. Maybe a different concept. And it would be nice if we could all be friends and everything's all the same thing, but I mean, they're not talking the same way. So explain the Svara according to the Rambam using his Lashon, and then explain the Svara according to Rashi's. If it's going to boil down to the same Svara at the end of the day, then great, that would be good. But it's at least you have to explain. Rashi's explaining things to you. He's talking, and the Rambam's talking, and they're not saying the same thing.
What's the upshot of each one?
The upshot of the Rashi, the upshot of the Rambam is that it's all basically whatever's in a Kli, it's all one object. That's what he's saying. And that's the machlokas, according to Rambam. Do you say that whatever is in a kli is one object or not?
And Rashi
is saying, do you say when you have an object, it's not one object. You have an object. You have a chardol. And a chardol, in order to be chayv rotzaya, has to be totally removed from the first rishos. Now, let's say it is removed, but its kli isn't removed. Do you say that it's totally removed? Do you say it's totally removed if its kli isn't removed? Do you say egad? Do you say the idea? It has to do with removal from Rishos. Like, for instance, it would be a nafkamina. If your thing falls down from the sky, that case, okay? That big nafkamina, okay? A thing falls down from the sky and lands on the boat. A thing full of chardals lands on the sky and lands on, lands on Rav.
Okay.
Let me just make sure. I think that would be a nafkamina. So if the object falls down from the ground, the thing full of chardal, okay? This happened once, I think, actually. A thing full of chardal falls down from the sky, lands on the border. Okay? So according to the Rambam, basically it's all one big object. One big object. And since it's one big object, you're going to define the object based on Rov. Right? Okay. According to Rashi, it's not one big object. It's really, you have a lot of different chardals. And 60% of the chardals have a din makom of one rishos. 40% of the objects have a din makom of the other rishos. Now, and that's it. Now, Eged has no shaychus here, because Eged is shaykh lagabe rishos kama. And the whole question of Eged is, when you have a rishos kama, and now the question is you're trying to break that rishos kama, so is it broken if the kli is still partially, is still another rishos? But that's not the case. If it falls down from the sky, you know, there's no rishos kama. The whole term Eged, according to Rashi, is based upon a rishos kama. There's no rishos kama, that's not the discussion here. That's not what it's talking about. Now, you could posit that it would be the same thing, but Rashi's not saying that. Rashi says, he's explaining, he's a long explanation of all these things about what Eged means. So Eged means rishos kama. So there's no rishos kama, so basically, now there. So what do you say? You go by the rishos kama, there's no rishos kama. So you have to say now it's basically 60-40. So these 60 have this makom, and these 40 have that makom. Okay, and according to the Rambam, there is no 60 and 40, it's one object. And that object is determined based upon Rov.
According to the Rambam.
And this is the way I'm learning. So we have to define the machlokas according to the Rambam, and we have to define the machlokas according to Rashi. Okay? Now, you'll see, after we do that, we're going to do Eged Yad. Which is, you'll see, it's not exactly the same thing. It's the Gemara here on Tzadi Aleph, Tzadi Beis on Aleph. The Gemara goes through all kinds of proofs, whatever. Tzadi Beis on Aleph, it comes around again. It's like Abaye, Kama Abaye, B'shita. So it gets the Rav on Abaye. Okay, basically it's the case of Eged Yad. And you'll see, the case of Eged Yad is same machlokas, but it's reversed. Okay, if you hold Eged Yad, you don't say Eged Kli, and vice versa. Okay, which is strange. But you'll see, and you have to learn it both according to Rashi and according to the Rambam. Okay, how these things, but it would seem, you'll see from the definitions, you'd think that it should be the same thing. You have to get the case of Eged Yad. I'm just talking, I'm throwing out a word, but you know what I mean, I'm talking about. So you'll have to look at the case there. But it's on the basement off. But I think it's a good chance that tomorrow should keep us busy for both Rashi and the Rambam. Okay?